And good afternoon or evening or morning. I want to bring your attention unto a portion of scripture that's in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 30 and verse number 15 and verse number 16. The title of the message is Those Who Pursue You. It is Those Who Pursue You. And what the message is talking about is when we go against God's way, He pursues us with enemies of guilt, shame, and fear, and even wrath. And if we're not actually in Christ Jesus, He will catch up unto us one day with the wrath of God. And so let's have a look at our text. It's in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, verse number 16. I see you, Guy. And we'll bring our message primarily here from verse number 16. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, this is the word of God, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence, thus confidence in God, in Christ, shall be your strength, because He is faithful unto us. But you would not. This is a part of our rebellion, of a rebellion who believe not. And you said, instead of resting on God, no, for we will flee on horses. We will take care of ourselves. We're going to live our own way. Therefore, you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. And the Lord God says, therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. And what He's really talking about is the overthrow. It's the destruction of all of our ways. That man takes a crooked path and he runs away from God instead of him running unto God, our Lord Jesus Christ. I see you, brother, confidence. And in the end, his path is going to lead unto destruction or shame. As a believer, I'm chastened by God if I go my own way. It's called unbelief. But as an unbeliever, a man is really chartering a course towards hell. And I know that it is possible for a man in his lifetime to be happy without God. It's not the happiness of Christ. It isn't anything real. And what the scripture says about that is in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter number 7. In verse number 6, it says this, for like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. It is short-lived, it's consumed by fire. This also is vanity. So people can be able to be happy without God. They can live in a marriage that's filled with fornication, orgies and wild sexual parties, and they can really be happy and say that there is no God. The husbands and wife are atheists, or they're anti-gospel in some other way, and they're really having a really good time on the way to hell. But they're heading over a cliff, their foot shall slide in due time. I picture men and some women in a bus. It's a big party bus, and they're having the time of their life. It's an orgy. It's all kinds of sexual immorality. It's the music is even blaspheming God, and they have an upside-down cross, and they're worshiping Satan, but they don't know that the bus is being driven over a cliff. The bus driver is asleep at the wheel. Is intoxicated. As we actually saw from Henry Ruggs over in Las Vegas, has been arrested for killing a person as he was intoxicated. And we pray for that family. We pray for him. We hate to see the tragedy. But an intoxicated bus driver, as while everyone is partying, and they don't know that they're heading over a cliff unto destruction, that is the laughter of the fool. It is present, it's here, but it's only for a short season, and its end is to be consumed by the fire. But there's also a misery, and I hope that you know something of this, or the Word of God will teach you. It is a ministry of being acquainted with the ways of this world and not with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he withholds his peace and he withholds his joy. And the life is really full of affliction. There is trouble. There is trials. Because husbands and wives, hi, Sister Phyllis, husbands and wives are not actually living God's way. Is the Lord God tells us as to how to live as families. And the result of doing it our own ways is often the destruction of the home, the destruction of the family, the destruction of peace. And if the husband and the wife of my brothers and sisters would live God's way, if the husband would love that wife, and would give himself for her to cleanse her and to wash her with the word of God and to renew her and to bring her unto our Lord Jesus Christ, it would be well in that home, at least with regard unto that husband and his own heart, his own peace with God, even if the wife would not give it, even if the wife is rebellious. He still got peace that comes from God. But if the wife also is included in the worship of God and she's in submission unto her husband and she's obedient unto him, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham and she called him Lord, who daughters you are if you're not afraid with any amazement, if you don't think that by serving and by loving and by submitting unto my husband, I'm going to lose out on life. But if you really looked up unto God and said that my meek and my calm spirit is in the sight of God of great price, and it isn't only I'm just going to be quiet and I'm going to have an attitude, but it's a meek and it's a calm and it's a tranquil spirit that comes from trusting Christ. And the Father is not to provoke his children unto wrath. He's to realize as to what it is to be like as a child and under authority, and how you have your own will and your own personality, and you don't want to be abused, and you don't want to be oppressive unto people. You don't want to be oppressive unto your children. And the children is to obey his parents in all things. And so these instructions are plainly given unto us in Colossians 3, verse number 18 through 21. And if we practice them, that's right, if we practice them as a family, our families will have peace. Our families will have joy. Our families will not be broken. Our families will have the spirit and the joy and the glory of Christ. And it's just a picture, my brothers and my sisters, that if we live God's way, if we do what the Bible says, if we follow the rules and instructions of the rule book and of the guidance of God, it shall be well with our souls. But as to what these people in the book of Isaiah, as we're saying, is no. He will flee on horses. Instead of sitting still, instead of trusting God, instead of being saved by grace, he told us Thus says the Holy One of Israel, the Lord God, in returning and rest, in reliance upon Christ, in faith, in love, in the cleansing of your heart and of my heart by the Holy Spirit, in the confession of our sins. This is what the scripture says in 1 John 1, and this is an important passage of scripture, because brethren, it isn't our failures. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He's very patient and forgiving. He's very long-suffering. He's very gentle. He helps us. He does not condemn, but he's given us the way to go if we'll have peace in our heart, if we'll have peace in our home, if we'll have peace in our life, if we're going to live peaceably towards others. And this is what he says in 1 John 1, verse number 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, if we deny our sin, if we refuse to confess our sin, we deceive ourselves. If we're shortchanging ourselves from mercy and the hands of a merciful God and the forgiveness and the cleansing that he gives, which he earns in Christ. And so if we quickly lift up our hands, if we quickly confess and say, Lord God, I've done wrong. I've gone in a way that doesn't profit me. He'll be merciful unto your soul, unto my soul, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. But we've got to live God's way. We can't have this peace. We can't have this power. We can't have this joy if we're living in sin. So let's confess our sins and be turned into the right way, and be given the push of God. If we say we have no sin, it's we deceive ourselves. I'm shortchanging myself, and the truth is not in us. I don't know the gospel. If I'm always on the guide that everybody else is wrong, and I can't point the finger at me, there's something wrong with me that's dreadful. Let us confess our sins. Because in verse number 9, if we confess, if we say I'm wrong, if we say I'm the most abominable, if we say I'm the most filthy, if we say I'm a guilty sinner. I've been dealing with a friend that has come into the light of the gospel, and it's a joy to deal with her and to interact with her. And what she told me this morning is I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace. And what I tell her then was, don't be too quick to say I'm a sinner, small, and then I'm saved by grace. No, wallow in it. Admit it. Be guilty of it. Understand the meaning of those words. I'm a sinner. I'm depraved morally. There is no good in me. In me that's in my flesh dwells no good thing. I would never have come unto Jesus Christ if it had been left up unto me. But with that light and with that knowledge and with that in mind, look up unto Christ's grace and believe it and grab hold of it wholeheartedly as a filthy and as a guilty sinner. Because if we confess our sins, if we admit it, if we get down unto the bottom of it, I'm a rebel against God by nature in my flesh. Look what it says. He is faithful. And that's what the gospel is. It's not the goodness of the sinner. It's not the goodness of me and you. It's the goodness of God. He's faithful. It's because he's given us his word. He said he would forgive. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, all you failures, all you sinners, draw near unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he won't cast you out. For anything that you've done, for any crime that you have committed, it could be murderer, it could be orgy haver, it could be porn star, it could be homosexual, it could be It could be a lying politician. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. A Republican politician on the outside, and a homosexual in private, and a sexual deviant. It doesn't matter. Come unto our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll receive you. He is faithful. He is good. And he is just. He's just. He's already paid the penalty of sin and for sin at the cross. He gave his own son to die. So if we come unto him, there is plenteous mercy because the condemnation has been taken away. It was laid upon Christ. It was placed inside of his heart. His bosom was punished. He was made where God's wrath met. He was made the object of the wrath of God. When all of our sins, who believe the gospel, were laid upon him, and he was struck down by the blows of the wrath of God, then resurrected from the dead as proof that God was satisfied. God's found an answer for the sins of sinners who come to him, even me and you. He is faithful, absolutely faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins, as to cleanse my conscience, to take away the guilt and the shame, and to bring in my reconciliation with God and my peace, restore my joy, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can overcome my drunkenness. He can overcome my homosexuality. He can overcome my fornication. He can overcome my stealing, my backstabbing, my slander, my witchcraft, my adultery, my murder, my hatred of others, my slothfulness, my laziness, my envy, my wrath, my short temper, my being hard to deal with, my impatience, my love of this world, my lust after other things, my covetousness, my greed. Any sin I have on my books, he can overcome it. He can forgive it. And he can cleanse you up from it. And that's just really as to what we're talking about, is the Holy Spirit tells us in Isaiah in chapter 30, verse 15, in returning and rest, in reliance upon God, you shall be saved in quietness and confidence, not in myself. What's my confidence? What's your confidence? It's in the Word of God. He's spoken. And it's by two immutable things. One, he uttered it from his mouth. I don't like people challenging my word. I like to be a man of integrity. But even I'm a liar. All men are liars. But Jesus Christ is faithful, and he's risen, and he's gone up into heaven as our great high priest. And God has given his promise, his oath. He said, surely in swearing by myself, I will give you the land. And that's how the promise is given by God. He swears by himself. And when God swears, we got to believe it. And if I believe this blessed gospel in the morning and it revives my heart and it gives me faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to keep this gospel, this blessing, all throughout the day, and I'm to believe the goodness of God towards me. That even though I'm a sinner, my sins are forgiven, and I'm assured of eternal life, everlasting life, sure of the promises, sure of the forgiveness, sure of the mercy, sure of the counsel of God. And he will guide us in the right way. That's why me and you, we give thanks in everything. Is I had some meetings here in Abuja, is the capital of Nigeria. It's our mission here was to get land. The meetings didn't all happen as we had planned. But so what? We're going to give God glory, whether it's by life, whether it's by death, whether it's by sickness, whether it's by health, whether he gives us what we want or he does not. Glory be to God, because he has given us all things through Jesus Christ, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. I'm a crying baby. I didn't used to be like this, but it touches my heart. It's in my heart. And it feels so good. And to know that whatever happens, is God says that he loves me and you who believe his gospel. And he can do us right as to whether he gives or whether he withholds. It doesn't matter. As long as thy will be done. And that's the thanksgiving. That's the giving of thanks that we have in Jesus Christ. That in all things we have Jesus Christ. And in all things this is his will for us. Who loved us and gave himself for us. So how can he do us wrong ever? Every decision he makes is righteous. And if we fight God, then we lose out on peace, as we miss out. Let me read you this text in the book of Psalms. It's in 81. And he says in Psalm 81, I'll start at verse number 13, but let me get down to verse number 16. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. And that's really what we're talking about from Isaiah 30. It's the way of God. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's obedience unto him. It's by following him. It's by living as he gives us a commandment by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the blood of Christ, which cleanses us. And then look at verse number 16. Psalm 81, verse 16. He would have. What a word from God for people who are squandering their lives, our lives, on sin, on vanity, on shame, on unbelief, on murmuring, on going our own way, on doing our own will, on living our life for ourselves, and it is so miserable. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat. He's saying that these people that turned away in unbelief, and they wouldn't walk according unto my commandments, and they wouldn't sit still, and they wouldn't be quiet, and they wouldn't rest on me. And now it's so hard for them. And I've turned unto to be their enemy. And my providence has upset them. And their peace is gone. And they're on their way unto the wrath of God. These very same people, he says, I would have fed them with the finest of wheat, with the sweetest fellowship in Christ, and the sweetest peace. Have you not learned? I not learned that to be obedient unto God, to seek God's glory, to live according unto God's will from the heart, that he is so forgiving, so patient, so kind, so generous, so loving, so helpful, so blessing, so sufficient. How sweet He is. And all this time, my brethren, if we were trying to live our own way and get glory unto ourselves, and we were missing out on the sweetness of Christ, and He would have fed us with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock, that sweet honey. It is honey out of an unexpected place. Who can give honey out of the rock? I've heard of the water that came gushing out of the rock, but not just water to satisfy my thirst, but honey for sweetness, for joy, for gladness, for counsel, for enlightenment, for a thrill of life, a thrill to be alive, a thrill unto bring God glory. The satisfaction of the soul that is in the deepest places. I delight, Christ says, to do God's will. He says, I would have satisfied you. And so we turn back into Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 15-16. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, this is the word of God, is unbudging. In returning and rest, you shall be saved, even as a sinner, even as a believer who's been squandering your life, his or her life. In quietness, as reliance upon God and confidence in Him, shall be your strength. You're looking unto God and unto Jesus Christ. It shall be rewarded, and it shall be satisfied with the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit and the counsel of God and the wisdom of God and the blood of Christ to cleanse your conscience. And oh, how sweet it is. But you would not, he says. And you said no, as you said no unto God, for we will flee on horses. I'm going to do this my own way. I'm going to live my own way. I ain't going to believe that gospel. I ain't going to walk by faith. I'm not going to treat my wife as to how the Bible tells me. I'm not going to honor my husband. I'm not going to treat my children as the way that the Bible says. If the children say, I ain't I'm going to honor my parents. I ain't going to honor my mother and father. Therefore, you shall flee. You shall flee, and you say, and we will ride on swift horses. Yes, we seem so clever in our unbelief. And we seem so conspicuously foolish when we think ourselves wise and we rely upon our own strength. That's why we don't have any. Our own wisdom. We think we're wise, and so we're foolish. We trust in, some do, their own righteousness. That's why they don't have any righteousness in the sight of God. And He could come down at any moment and strike them and send them to an everlasting hell. Because life is not promised for tomorrow. All the declaring and all the decreeing I hear in Africa, in Nigeria. Our brother James says, if you say anything more than if the Lord wills, it's sin. And if the decreeing and declaring in Africa, in Nigeria, if it was real, it wouldn't be like this. If it was real in America, it wouldn't be like that either. It would be no sweat in the heat of the day and to get your bread. It would be no thorns and no more thistles in childbirth. It would be no more pain. It would be no more hardship. It would be no more death. If me and you had the power to cancel the curse of the Almighty God, don't you think that me and you would have canceled it by now? We don't have the power. Unto dust we shall return, because out of dust he took us, and we sinned against God, and the curse causeless, it will not come, and these bodies are dying, and they're going unto the grave. If somebody had the power to decree, would infants still be dying? No, sir. We're under this curse until we die. But he'll give us strength to endure it and to overcome it. He says, in the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. He says, in pain, you shall give birth. So even though there's suffering, even though there's trial, there's still God Almighty to pull us through it. And that's Paul's injunction unto our sisters in 1 Timothy chapter 2, as he tells of the women to be silent in the church. It's not permitted for them to preach and teach and to instruct men, because Adam was first formed and then Eve, but he shall be saved through childbearing, through all the pains and all the hardships of being in submission and under the curse that's in this flesh. She shall be saved if she continue in faith and in love and in long-suffering and in humility, and she doesn't become ashamed of the gospel and rebel against God. There's hope and peace for sinners in this way if we get back on track with our Lord Jesus Christ. But since these people were saying, we will ride on swift horses, I'm going to take care of myself, therefore God says, those who pursue you shall be swift. And what he's saying there is, you can't win. I can't win. I cannot go my own way and have peace with God. I can't exalt myself and seek the glory of myself and have peace with my Maker. I can't pretend to have my own righteousness and be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. If I want a clean conscience, if I want peace inside my heart, I got to trust of the blood of Christ. I got to trust the power of the Holy Spirit. And my sister Phyllis, I got to trust in the will of God. Whatever God says, do. That you do. That's what Mary said in the book of John 2, when they ran out of the wine at the feast. As our sister said, whatever he says, you do it. And that's good counsel. He told them to fill the 6 big barrels of water. That was something that they can do. You and I need to believe upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to do what he said, in our families, in our homes, and with our lives. And he will provide the miracle, the peace, the joy, the power over sin, the forgiveness between each other, and the love that will come out of me and you and will go forward, and it will touch others, and it will make our world a better place in measure. I know this world is going to be destroyed. But you make it a better place as you show love and kindness and peaceableness and gentleness, and we teach others instead of condemning them, and we hold back our wrath, and we learn to entreat, and we forgive instead of holding people in condemnation. We love them. We walk according as he's given us commandment. And for us, it's better. Because in quietness and in confidence, we shall be saved. In assurance of God. But if we run from God, instead of to our Lord Jesus Christ, those that pursue us are going to pursue more swiftly than we're able to run away. I ask God's blessing upon this word. If I can be helpful, you can hit me in my inbox or you can leave a message here. But I love to hear about you in the gospel. But I want you to believe it, and I want you to put it in practice, and I want you to put your faith, your trust, your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he'll forgive you as a sinner, and he'll lead you and guide you into the right way by the Holy Spirit, and he'll enable you and me unto do his word. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake. My brothers and sisters, and any poor sinner, why don't you come to Christ and just cast off the burden and look to him, and it will